Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. And we're going to be reading a few scriptures. Worship team, thank you. Give a big hand to the worship team. And this morning, I'm excited. We are going to continue with our sermon series for the month of June, which is called No Retreat, No Surrender. And we are going to continue along that same theme this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, say amen when you have it. The Bible reads like this, and I will be reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful. Someone say faithful. Even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things awaiting for you that would last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Let's pray. Father, once again, I ask you, take full control. I pray that you would remove me, allow me to speak the word as you gave it to me. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall. I ask for the anointing upon my life. Help me to just preach with conviction and power. And I pray that someone would be encouraged this morning. Remind us, Father, that retreat, going back or giving up is no longer an option. Give us endurance and stability to stand through all of life's struggles. And God, we will be careful throughout that process to give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Look at the person next to you and say, no retreat, no surrender. Give them a high five and you may be seated. And the subtitle of our series is, we are not of those who draw back. And this morning we're going to continue along the same lines. And a few weeks ago, I preached part one of this message. And we just talked about what no retreat, no surrender, that mindset looks like. And no retreat, no surrender is a mindset that is determined to succeed, determined to go forward and never go backwards. And this morning I want to read to you about a Spanish explorer named Hernando Cortez, who I believe there's a message in this. And it says this: on April 21st in the year 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortez sailed into the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him about 600 men only. And yet over the next 2 years, with only 600 men, Cortez was able to defeat Moctezuma and all the Aztec warriors in that empire, making Cortez the conqueror of all of Mexico with only 600 men. Now, this is incredible. And you might be asking, well, how in the world did he do it? How in the world did he conquer all of Mexico with so few men? Because the odds were stacked against them. His secret was simple. He knew the road before him would be dangerous and difficult. He had tried to conquer Mexico previously but failed. But this time, he did things just a little bit different. As soon as Cortez and his men had come ashore and unloaded their provisions, he ordered the entire fleet of 11 ships to be destroyed. His men stood on the shore and watched as their only possibility of retreating was burning and it sank. And from that point on, they knew that beyond a shadow of doubt that the only way they would survive was to fight and never turn back. Nothing lay behind them but empty ocean. Their only option was to conquer or die. And this morning, I think there's a lot we can learn from that. Because here he burned plan B. There was no plan B for these 600 men. They had to fight with determination and settle it in their spirit that I have no choice but to move forward. And I believe that's a mindset that you and I can adopt when it comes to walking with God. We have to come to a place where we say, God, there is no plan B. I love you. I'm willing to trust you no matter what comes my way. If I got to go through some things, I'm willing to put my trust in you. And it's heavy because when you look at the scripture that we read here in the book of Hebrews, the scripture is from a writer who is attempting to encourage a people who were heavily persecuted. God's people were going through ridicule and being heavily persecuted. Have you ever been there? Where you're just going through so many things and you feel like the world and everything is crashing all around you. The pressures of life have a way of getting to us. And this is what the people were experiencing. And the basic message that the Hebrew writer was trying to give to God's people was, listen, you've come too far to go back now. This is why he begins to remind them, do you remember the fight that you had when you first knew Christ? Do you remember what you were willing to endure for his name? But then he says something very interesting in verse 36, and he gives a specific quality that the people of God would need if they were going to fulfill the purposes of God and fulfill the promise upon their life. This is what he says. He says, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that has been promised. In other words, he was telling them, if you're going to make it from here on out, if you're going to fulfill the call of God upon your life, you're now going to need the spiritual quality of endurance. And this word endurance is defined as this. It's the ability or strength to hold on, continue, or to last, especially when you're fatigued, stressed out, or experiencing hostile conditions. Who's ever been stressed out? Who's ever been under some hostile conditions? Well, I came here this morning to encourage you, like the Hebrew writer, what you need now is spiritual endurance. Spiritual endurance is the characteristic of a man who is not easily moved from their God-given purpose or faith when they are experiencing conflict. And what we are looking for today is men and women that will say, I will stand for God. I will not be easily moved in spite of what's in front of me. See, the quality of endurance is needed because we will experience tough times. Walking with God is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it is. But bad things are going to happen to us. We are going to experience things that are not fair. It's not a matter of if bad things are going to happen. It's a matter of when bad things are going to happen. Life is not easy, but it's easier when you know that God is the author and the perfecter of your faith. When you know that he already conquered it all. And the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead lives in you, life gets a little bit easier. See, 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, you therefore must endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now this is interesting because a good soldier is loyal and will stand to the end. Good soldiers are ready to lay down their life. And if we are going to experience hardship, we need good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're in desperate need of good soldiers. Soldiers that will be loyal to God's ways, loyal to what God has for them. I've learned years ago that nothing of value comes without a price. Right. Nothing of value comes without a price. This is why the Apostle Paul went on to tell Timothy, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather try to please his commanding officers. See, soldiers live by a different code of conduct. They live by a different set of regulations. And you and I, as believers, we live by a different set of rules. We don't live according to the rules, to the rules of the world. We don't live according to the behaviors of the world, but our behaviors are modeled after what the Bible says. We live differently to show that God lives in us. I think that today one of my One of the things that bothers me most is that sometimes we can go out of church or sometimes even in church and we can't tell somebody walking with God from someone that's not. There are some Christians, they're always mad. There's some believers that they hate people. Mad at the world. But if we're going to make a difference, we got to let God's peace live in our heart. We got to allow joy to settle into our spirit. And we have to fight against opposition and become offensive instead of defenses. God didn't call you to be under the circumstances. God called you to be a victor over your circumstances. You're called to be the head and not the tail. You're not called to struggle. You're not called to always go through things. And if you're constantly going through the same battle, chances are God's trying to teach you something. God didn't call you to struggle. But understand this, soldiers live differently. And listen, I, as a believer, before I am a pastor, I'm simply a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have been enlisted in the army of God, and as a result, I live differently. Why? Because I remember the one who endured the cross. I choose to live differently because God died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I choose to live differently. Why? Because God died so that I can live life to the fullest. Because he conquered the grave, because he was willing to suffer, I can have new life. And listen, some of us got to get to the place where we're reminded what God did for us. I know we're going through tough times, but listen, I don't got to walk through life alone. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, can intervene in any situation and can fall under any circumstance. You know that at your house, you can get in your prayer closet, or you can simply turn off the devices. You can get into the Word of God. You could even pray, and the power of God can fall in your living room. There's some people that the only time that they pray is when they come to church. But I'm talking about developing good soldiers that develop good habits, that live disciplined lives, that will wake up in the morning and seek the face of God, that will get up in the morning and look through the Word of truth so they can apply it throughout their day, so that when people look at them, they say there's something different about that man. There's something different about that young lady. She's not the person she used to be. I don't know, but I can't put my finger on it. One day they're going to come and ask you, what in the world, what did you do? You're going to look at them and say, Jesus Christ changed my life. I'm no longer the same. But wait a minute. You used to drink. You used to be a drug addict. I know I used to be a drug addict. But one day, somebody told me about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And as a result, I've been set free. Some of you are at a place where you're not sure what to do when you're at a crossroad. Listen, hold on, my friend. Don't look back. Look forward. You can stand there. Just don't go backwards. If you gotta crawl, you crawl and get on your knees and do what you have to do. If you have to ask for help, ask for help, because we're here. See, one thing you have to understand about soldiers, a soldier can never walk away from another wounded soldier. If a soldier is hurt, we do what we have to. If I got to put you on my back, I'll put you on my back. But I also pray that if you ever see me struggling, you'll say, come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. I got you. Come on, Brother Nikia. And you'll pick me up. And you'll say, come on, we can do this together. We can do it together. Now get up with me, Julio. Come on. Now pick him up. Pick him up. Pick him up. Come on. And we walk together. And even when you don't have strength, because we're a family, we will fight. We will stand. You may not have strength, but listen, my brother, because we're family and we live by a different code of conduct, you and I can fight together. You're probably wondering, Pastor, why are you screaming so much? Because as I was putting this message together, I started thinking of the different men that picked me up when I almost gave up. I remember the voices of the men that said, brother, don't give up. I would not be here had it not been for men that chose to stand as a good soldier. When life came against them, when the battles and the water and the waves and everything came crashing down, they stood the test of time. As a result, it gave me encouragement. It gave me strength. And some of you got to look around you and realize you're not alone. Sometimes the enemy will try to make us feel like nobody loves you. Wave at me. Just wave at me if you've been there. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Yes, even as a pastor. There's times I feel like just discouraged. There's times that the enemy will try to come in and give me a Bible study on all the men in the Bible that failed. He'll start looking at all my areas. But because I know the Word of God, because I understand fundamentals, I don't got to lean on my skill. See, I've learned that when I don't know what's going on, first of all, in the midst of confusion, I will never make a big decision. Number one, when everything is going wrong around me, I will stand and I won't move. Secondly, when I don't know what to do and everything is chaos around me, I simply go to the Word of God and I seek His face. Because His Word, the Bible says, is sharper than any double-edged sword, has the ability to cut through every thought, every marrow. In other words, when my mind is fogged with confusion, the Word of God has a way of cutting through every false lie. It has a way of cutting through every false idea, and it puts me back on the path that I should walk on. Why? Because I live by a different code of conduct, and that conduct is found in the Word of God. And I say this with passion because there are some, we don't know what code of conduct you're living by. Can I be real? Can I talk too early? Can I talk about some things? The Bible says that in the last days, people will turn from the Word of God and the Word of truth to hear what their itchy ears want to hear. I'm not going to do that to you this morning. I'm going to tell you the truth. But sometimes we look at some believers and we don't get it. They keep falling under the same problems. But we're looking for men that will endure and that will stand. Too often, believers throw in the towel way too easy. They're unwilling to fight. And I ask them, so why did you stop coming to church? Life got hard. Why did you stop coming? Well, I stubbed my toe that morning and, you know, I got into a fight and, you know, so-and-so talked about me. People talk about me too. I know life is tough, but just because life gets tough doesn't mean we turn our backs on God. Remember that God endured the cross so that we can live life more abundantly, so we can't just cash in our chips or take our little toys because we got hurt in the church and we no longer want to deal with anybody. But if we're going to build a strong, healthy church, we're going to have to learn to resolve conflict. We're going to learn to have, I'm going to have to learn to say, Brother Kenny, I don't like how you talk to me. I don't like the way that you said that. Doesn't make sense. But you know what? I forgive you anyways. I'm going to have to learn to talk to brothers. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm going to have to learn to say things like, you know what? You irritate me. Be cool, though. Don't say it like that because that might start a fight. Some of you, and I'm talking about the ladies. See, a lot of people, we're secluded and we don't know how to get along with people. So the first conflict that we have, we want to rush out of the church. God didn't call you to just run. God called you to deal with your inner issues. And sometimes you're not mad at me, you're mad at what I said, but you're reminded of what someone else did to you. And as a result, you want to cut me off. That's not fair to me. That's not fair to you. But to be a healthy church, we need good soldiers that will stand the test of time. Listen, I stand. I endure hardship. First of all, because what God did. God is my commanding officer. If He endured the cross, 100% God, 100% man here on earth, then I can do it too. But secondly, I endure hardship and I'm willing to suffer because my family is counting on me. Thirdly, I suffer and I'm willing to go through tough times because the church is counting on me. Yeah. Jesus is counting on me to fulfill the call upon my life so that I can bring glory to His name. And some of us, we got to get to a place where we realize it's no longer about us. Yeah. Say amen even if it hurts. Amen. Amen. Sometimes everything revolves around us. I used to be very selfish before I came to the Lord. I really was. But I came to a place where I realized it's no longer about me. I can't just give up. There are too many people watching. Some of you have to understand this. You have to live different because people are watching your walk. They are watching, will he make it? And sometimes we don't even know that they're watching, and right when we give up, they were ready to step in. But this morning, I encourage you, you have to endure this morning. You have to endure because walking with God, it's not a sprint. It's like a marathon. And a marathon is simply this. It's a long-distance race. It's normally about 26 miles long. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It doesn't matter how you start. It's how you finish. It's easy to begin a marathon well. It's not too easy to finish. See, the test comes over the long haul and when you experience different obstacles. But understand this, Ecclesiastes 9:11 says that the race is not to the swift. It's not about how good you look. It's not about how fast you run. It has everything to do, will you endure to experience the finish line? Hebrews 12:1-2 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Understand this, there is a specific race you are supposed to run. My race and my course is much different than your course. In other words, there's a calling and a purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. There's a reason you're having to overcome certain things. And you're called to endure. You're called to run with endurance. Remember our definition. Endurance is the ability or strength to hold on, continue, or last, especially when facing fatigue, stress, or hostile conditions. Are you getting something this morning? So this morning, I just want to give you a few things that you're going to need in order to finish this race. Are you ready? Number one, if you're going to finish this race, you will have to lay aside every weight and sin that entangles you. Hebrews 1:1b, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. See, when a runner decides to run a marathon, they have to go through some preparation. And the day of the race, they're not going to go and run a marathon with combat boots. They're not going to run with extra weight. If anything, they start eating different. They won't consume just whatever they want because they understand the lighter their body, the easier it will be to endure the race. And in the same way, you and I, we can't try to run this spiritual race with things that hinder us, with sin that entangles us. Nothing, listen to me, nothing will suck the life out of you more or cause you to grow tired than sin. Sin has a way of putting a weight on your shoulders that will keep you from doing the things you actually want to do. This is what it means to hinder. Anything that creates difficulty for someone or causes delay or obstruction. And know this, there are things that we hold on to, we think nobody knows, that will eventually cause us to destruct. And some of you are divided because on this hand, you want to serve God. You want to do great things for God. But over here, we have a secret life that nobody knows about. We have a pet sin that we keep in the glove compartment of our car. Come on, somebody. We have pet sins in our medicine cabinet. We say we only take them because our back hurts. We have these funny smelling cigarettes that is now legal here in Washington, and I only smoke it because the doctor said I need it. Say amen or oh my. Now I know that's the extreme. Not everyone does that. But there are some who do. And God has called you to run this race with endurance. And there comes a time where we got to put away filthy talk. When I talk about filthy talk, I'm talking about we got to do away with gossip. We got to do away with swearing. I'm only telling you what the word says. I'm starting to get frowns over here. What are the sins that hinder us from moving forward? What about sin? What about pride? Where we think so highly of ourselves that we can't come under anybody and we're the gift to the church and just wait till I get the microphone. There are some who think like that. What about a bad attitude? That will hinder your progress. Because if you're called to make a difference for God, people have to like you. I don't get it. There are people that want to do great things for God, but they hate people. Pastor, I want a cell group. Okay, great. But you hate people. Let's work on that. Let's work on your relational skills. Let's work on your tact and on your tone. Brother, tact is the right way of doing something. Tone is bringing it down a notch so that people don't think you're yelling at them. But there are some, we got to work on those things. Understand this, that marathon runners, they have to do away with all the extra weight, the extra baggage, that they need a certain type of shoes. They have to wear a certain type of socks. They have to wear as least clothes as possible so that they can endure the race without being held back. And some of you, if you're going to endure, you got to strip away the things that ensnare us. Number two. If you're going to finish this race, you have to understand number two. Number two is this. Physical endurance is developed through pain over time. Physical endurance is developed through pain over time. If you've ever worked out or have gone to the gym, you know that strength and endurance is built over time. You can't go in there and start living the heaviest weight. Because if you do, chances are you might not come back to the gym tomorrow. In order to build endurance, pain and suffering will be a part of the process. This is why they have that phrase, no pain, no gain. And spiritual endurance is a lot like that. In order for spiritual endurance to be built, it will be built through our suffering and through our trials. Romans 5:3 says this, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. So you're going to have to go through some things to develop the quality of endurance, and ultimately endurance will define your character and prove you to be stable. James 1 and 2, all of you know it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, trials and suffering have a way of building our stamina. It has the ability to catapult us forward. And according to the book of James, if we're going to become mature, we're going to have to learn to endure trials. We're going to have to learn to embrace the struggle. Stop praying for God to pull you out of the struggle. Ask God for strength to get you through the struggle. Because once you've been through something and God is the one that pulled you through, next time that trial comes, you just simply plant your feet, you put your head down, you look up to God and say, God, let's do it again. You brought me through once before, I know you'll bring me through again. And the beauty of that is this, when you've been through some things and you see someone else struggling, you can say, Brother Chris, don't worry about it, let me walk with you. I know what you're going through, I've been there. There's a story of a man who once jumped into a hole. It was about 8 feet deep, rather short man. And as he was in this hole, he was saying, someone help me, someone help me. And the man came over and said, I can't reach you. I'll be right back. Let me go get somebody. And he ran off. So the man was stuck in this hole. Another man came up and said, sir, are you okay? He said, no, I'm not. I'm stuck down here. I said, I could see that. But I can't help you. Let me go get a ladder. I'll be right back. The man stood there and he started to get dark and he was scared and he started to say, am I ever going to get out of here? I'm going to die out here. And it started to rain. Yet another man heard a man crying and came and went to the hall. And he said, "Sir, are you okay?" He said, "No, I'm not. I'm afraid I'm going to die. Can you help me?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, two men just went. One just went to go grab help. The other one went to grab a ladder. What can you do?" He said, "Stand back. I'm coming in." The guy said, "No, no, no." And the guy came and he jumped in the hole. And he said, "What are you doing? Now we're both stuck." He said, "No, we're not. I've been in the same hole you've been in. God pulled me out. I jumped in to let you know God can do it again. God can pull us out." And some of you got to get to a place where you endure trials knowing that you're going to be able to jump in a hole and pull somebody else out. See, not everything that we go through is a result of something bad. God's simply building your character and building your ammunition so that you can work with people that were just like you. I used to ask God, "Why did you let me go through that when I was young? Why did I have to go through the suffering that I did with my family?" But I get it now. I understand people. I can go to the toughest families and have hope because today my parents used to be chronic alcoholics. I seen my mom stab my dad. We used to call the cops because we were afraid. My dad would be stuck. Well, my mom was a crazy one, but either way, that's another story. Either way, we would be scared and we would call the cops. We would run outside to our neighbors. But today my parents aren't alcoholics. Today, my dad is a minister of the gospel. Today, my mom is a prayer warrior. But because I've been through what I've been through, I can give somebody else hope. This is why in our church and in our ministry, we want the worst of the worst. We want the one that nobody wants. We'll take anybody into one of our recovery homes. We don't care if the judge said there's no hope. Send them to Victory Outreach Men's Home. Do what you have to do, but we will believe God to help them. We have the faith to believe that God can change their lives. Why? Because we've been there. I'll be coming to a close. Spiritual endurance is the mark of a mature Christian. It's the mark of a person who has been through some stuff. You got to go through it to build spiritual endurance. Lastly, if you're going to finish this race, number three, you will have to fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. Let us run the race. Let us run with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Some of you got to put that in your phone. Some of you have to text that to yourself. Next time you go through it, listen, fix your eyes on Jesus. Every time I want to give up because it crosses our minds. Come on, wave at me. Come on, Chris. You've been around for a while. Sometimes you're like, "Man, this is too much." But every time that thought comes up, Hebrews 12, 3 rings a bell in my mind where it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I can stand because he endured it all. And the same power that resurrected God from the dead lives inside of me. And as a result, I can stand through anything. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to get knocked down. But this is why we have a church family. Because when I'm down, you can pick me up. And when you're down, I can pick you up. But we're in this together. See, Jesus is our example of endurance. He set an example for us to follow. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And I end with this morning. At the end of Paul's life, he writes a letter to his son Timothy, who was going through hardship. 2 Timothy 4, 5, and 7 says this. This is what he told Timothy. He said, "But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And here the Apostle Paul was at the end of his life, and what he was basically saying was this: I've poured it all out. I have nothing left to give. I'm pouring my life out like an offering unto God. And he finishes by saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And some of you, my plea is this morning. You have to do the work of an evangelist. Discharge the duties of your ministry. Hold on. Keep trucking. Keep fighting. Keep believing. Because God has great things for you. Close with this. In 1964, at the 18th Olympic Games in Tokyo, the following words were lit up. It said this: the most important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part. Just as the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential thing is to have fought well. Listen, some of you, you've been fighting. God sees your endurance. God sees you. You keep pressing. You keep believing. Galatians 6:9 says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not grow faint. You know what that means, proper time? In other words, it's not a matter of if, but of when. You keep pressing, you keep believing in everything you've been fighting for, because you've sowed, God will bring the promise to pass. I know you're still praying for your loved one. I know you're still praying for your father. I know you're still praying for your mother. You might be praying for your children today. Don't you grow weary in well-doing, because at the proper time, you will reap the harvest God intended for you to have, but you got to endure the process. So this morning, I urge you, don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. But remember the reward it brings you. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.